We'll start out with a few pictures of Pastor Russell that Brother Brian was kind enough. I really am indebted to him because these are treasures to have, and all of his were, really not in digital form, so he was able to put some in digital form for us. Brother Russell here in the year 1909, and here is a casual, candid photo with a brother. I left, by the way, the subtitles on there as Brother Brian had them in a lot of cases, so they may look a little terse, but that's the way he had them. But here's Brother Russell conversing with one of the other brethren. And here's a nice 1911 picture of him, and this has apparently been, some color has been added. And I like this one. Here he is in 1911, riding in an open car in St. Louis, Missouri. A little different from what we see today. But he was privileged to see enough of the increase of knowledge to see a lot of amazing things in his day. And here they are in 1911 on a trail at a park, of the Park of the Red Rocks. They're looking, don't they dress differently from what we would be dressed today? Just a different, you talk about the shaping of society and the changes. What changes have occurred? And here they are, we're taking a rest at the same park. And it's funny to see Brother Russell sitting like that, isn't it? You can see him there in the center. Usually we don't see him in such a casual setting. I don't know about you, but I wondered, what would it be like to have some pictures of the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or the Apostle John? Well, we have pictures of their characters given to us in the Scriptures, but it's so nice to have some of these photos, actual photos of our brethren early on in the harvest work. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Here's again in 1911 at Shasta Springs, just a general view of the brethren there milling around. And here's another one that's been, colors has been added to it. This was, it says here, about 1911. This is an immersion service in 1914 in Columbus, Ohio, in the convention reports. Very old pictures here. And here's another one of Brother Russell in September the 10th, 1916. He was age 64 shortly before he finished his course. Brother Benjamin Barton. What a faithful brother. I don't think I had ever seen a picture of him before. But when I think of Brother Barton, I think of consecration. Just such a dedicated, consecrated brother, so faithful to the truth. Here's 1912, Sister Hirsch. Sister Rose Marie Leffler, because I guess that in 1912, this would have been before she was married. And I don't know if I'll get to it, but then there, Brother Brian has another picture of her at 93 years old, coming to one of the conventions, I believe it was in Metro Detroit. So there's somebody from Brother Russell's time all the way up to modern times. And this is, Deb and I don't live too far away from this location. We're about 20 minutes away from United Cemetery in the North Hills of Pittsburgh. And this was, it looks similar today, except there's a Masonic temple to the right of the pyramid. That road is still the same shape. Obviously, there's a lot of traffic on it today, not like it was back then. There's some brethren gathered there in the year 1926 or 1927, approximately, at the graveside. And there's Brother Seclemian, a young picture of Brother Seclemian. He doesn't have a year here, but again, there's some that you see where he was speaking at a convention in the 70s, and this must have been probably in the 30s or so, I would gather, or 40s maybe. Now here, I wanted to show this one to you, 1942 Miami Valley Chautauqua Convention, and there are two rows, and you can't really, of elders, and I'm going to go ahead, I tried to blow this up a little bit. Oh, Rylan got in the room somehow. So,
found this interesting in the rear. Brothers are Zano, Muir, Wilson, Krebs, McCulley, Norby, Copeland, DeGroot, and Morehouse. That would be the back row. And then in the middle row, we have Gates, Denning, Blinn, and Bright. And then in the front row, we have brothers Sundbaum, Weiland, and Krupa. So some of those brethren I'm familiar with, and some of them I'm not. But I was really appreciated seeing a picture. It was 1942. Seeing a picture of some of these brethren who I've heard on tape, but had actually not seen any pictures of prior to this. Yes.
I don't know if there's anybody here that was at that convention, but I was.
Wonderful. Thank you. Can you tell us anything?
Well, it was open. You know, it was a convention that was sort of the auditorium portion was had no walls to it because it was outside, but it had a roof on it. You know. And you can hear the birds singing through it and all. And there were cabins that many of us stayed in, and we would group together according to maybe 10 or 12 of us staying there. We'd have to bring our own food. There was a cafeteria, but so many of us could not afford such a thing. And every one of those brethren I can remember, except the one on the extreme right next to Brother Morehouse. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that one is. I can't recall. But there was just the warmest of gathering together. I was 10 years old then. And I know I just feel so blessed. Do you know them? They're pillars of the past. And they're the ones that gave us the strength to encourage us to walk this way. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sister Esther. You know, when we look at these brethren, all of those who have gone before us have stood strong for the truth and stood strong for the harvest message, and they have really left a legacy. Here are examples of the members of the body of Christ. You know, we've got the picture of the temple, different ones being chiseled out. And here are brethren that were real stalwarts for the truth, who have blessed us and helped us, and we're able to benefit from their discourses and their thoughts to this very day. So we appreciate your sharing that testimony with us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Brother Robert?
Yes.
And that's the year I was born, so obviously I don't remember that. But I knew all of those brethren except three. And it's been a real privilege. It kind of gives you a connection with Brother Russell's day, because you can see they're old enough that they model the new Brother Russell.
Yes.
Anyway, there is a mistake there. Front row, the brother in the middle is Ernest Weiland. That's with an M instead of an N on the end.
Okay, thank you. And if you see any other mistakes, let me know, because either Brian, in typing them, possibly made an error, or I might have made an error in copying and pasting. So there may be some things that will need to be corrected. You know, when Brother Laddie was talking this morning, I thought it was so fascinating how, the overlap, you don't always think about Noah and Shem and Abraham, and how that Noah and Abraham were only 2 years apart in terms of being able to have seen each other, and Shem did overlap and lived on to see Isaac. And here, these brethren are connections. You know, they would have known the brethren in Brother Russell's day, and then they knew brethren here in this room. So there's a connection with Brother Russell and with those who served with him. I had the privilege of meeting Brother Colmer, who was about 90-something when I met him, and he had the privilege of driving Brother Russell from the train station to a meeting. Got to spend some one-on-one time with him, and he was relating that to me as a 20-some-year-old. And I thought, wow, there, I'm only one person away. Somebody, I shook his hand, and he shook Brother Russell's hand, and that was a real thrill. And this is Brother Robert Hirsch from about 1945. So again, back into the era of the 1940s. But what I'd like to do, we're not going to sing another hymn because I see that we have so many pictures here. What I would like to do, Deb, if it's okay with you, is take, first of all, this brother, Brother Paul Alchway. Oh, you know what? I goofed. I should have hit shift. I have to run all the way down here, so hold on. While we get the microphone to Deb, I'll go back. And it's very slow because these files are pretty large, and so it takes the computer a good while to run through them, and hopefully it will without crashing on me or something here. Hang on. We'll go back and I'll do it the right way this time. There it is, and let me do the shift F5, and that will be the right place. Brother Paul Alchway, this was December the 31st, 1976, Winter Seminar in Chicago.
Okay, Brother Paul Alchway was a friend of myself and my brother. Some of the brethren may remember him. He was an elder in the Winnipeg Ecclesia. He consecrated at the age of 16. And had he passed at the age of 24. And I remember Robert and I would read different things together. And I remember a point from one of Brother Benjamin Barton's articles, and he said, "I believe that the Lord can give me the experiences to make my calling election sure in 3 days." And that really impressed upon my mind, but probably because there are brethren who are able to be used of the Lord and to make their calling election sure in such a short time, to be taken at the age of 24. He was quite an amazing individual. Very spiritual minded, and I can remember his sister Joanne and I, we were inseparable, we were best friends. We were a year apart, and he and my brother David were a year apart. So growing up in the same ecclesia, it was wonderful. We all had each other. And I can remember when Joanne and I were like about 13, so Paul would have been about 18. Well, he wanted to have a study with us. And I can remember the study that we had. It was on the scripture when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And I remember Paul telling us youngsters that the comma was put in the wrong place in the translation, and that always stuck in my head. He was big on witnessing. He used to witness to his university professors. All these details stay in my mind. The first discourse that he gave was on scripture, "There is a river," and I can't give you the exact scriptural citation. Always positive. For those who knew him, you know what I'm saying. I just, words fail me because obviously he was a remarkable individual to make his calling election sure in that short period of time. But back in the olden days, which I'm part of, we used to take our manus to conventions, and we'd get a friend to sign our manus, and they write a scripture. And the scripture that Paul wrote in my manus was two scriptures, 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. And it reads, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And whenever I think of that scripture, I think of Paul. And when I see his handwriting in my manna, it's just kind of, it warms my heart. And I'm just thankful to have personal memories of him.
Good. Thank you, Deb, for that, for your reflections. And I didn't have the privilege of knowing Brother Paul, but for someone to die at the age of 24 and having only been consecrated for 8 years is pretty remarkable. So, a wonderful example. Thank you for those thoughts. I'm going to attempt to switch over to some photos now that Brother Mark passed along to me on a thumb drive. And what I'd like to do is just pause for a moment with these, and if anyone has any reflections, you can reflect in your mind, or if you have a testimony for us, please feel free to share that with us. I know there's quite a few pictures here. And I'll try to make some of these a little bit bigger. Let's see, we're cutting brethren off, so we don't want to do that. There's quite a few pictures here. This must have been from an album, I would say. Yeah. Oh, there is actually, I see a hand back there, Brother Sean.
That's actually from a program from 1959 at Bloomington.
At which convention?
Bloomington Convention.
At Bloomington.
And
thank you.
Those are, I've got it down here. I gave to Mark. It's just something I've had since I was a child. And that's the brethren I kind of grew up with as a child. And my grandfather, Brother Matt Carr, went around the conventions, and of course I got to go to some of them, not all of them, certainly. And but I remember Bloomington very well. It was large, a lot of people. It was nothing for 1,000 people to come, and for a week. And they were wonderful. My grandfather was up on the left side. And
on this one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
So I just gave that to Mark because they have a lot of old brothers, because I know Sister Sandy was looking through some pictures the other day and didn't know a couple of brethren. I thought, well, put those up, maybe somebody recognizes something.
Thank you so much, and that's for pointing that out to us. And to think 1,000 brethren at a convention.
It's huge.
Would this have been roughly the 50s?
This one in particular was 1959.
59, you said, okay.
Yeah.
1959. All right, thank you for sharing that with us. And for bringing the pictures. I guess Brother Mark then had the opportunity to scan some of these in. And here's some additional ones.
Brother Robert?
Yes.
If you could go back one, Brother Brother Malouk there, Brother Bill Malouk,
mm-hmm.
from Piqua, just of course, I didn't know Brother and Sister Malouk until I think Sister Malouk was ill for quite a while when I knew her. But Brother Malouk, when he was in a nursing home, pasted all over his door all these scriptures. You know, the Brother Malouk never greeted you without a scripture. And I think probably several brothers, I'm sure most of the brothers here knew Brother Malouk, but that was always so impressive to me that he, every time you spoke to him, he had a scripture. And those people in the nursing home, I don't think, cared for him too much, but it never stopped him from witnessing to them. And he was a very devout Bible student. I was always impressed by his ability to remember a scripture and then to discuss it, not just to quote the scripture, but to have something meaty behind it. So that that's very sweet to see. Brother Lyle Cook, very dear brother. Brother Kaziak, I didn't know him real well, but all of the discourses I heard from him were a real blessing. And Brother Sipperly over in the bottom right hand corner from Cleveland. Anyway, you see those names and all these memories flood back, so I'm sorry, but I had to say something at least about Brother Malouk.
you, Sister Martha, very much for pointing that out to us. Now, Brother, and again, you know my eyes aren't very good. Brother, is that Dan Kasiak you're looking at?
That's my brother down on the bottom left.
Oh, okay. He, I wanted to clarify that because, what's that?
Lyle Cook next to him.
Right, next to Lyle Cook. He, Brother Dan Kasiak is the one who immersed me back in 1981. Yeah, Brother, actually Brother David's father, Brother Irwin Duran, gave the baptismal talk. And then Brother Dan Kasiak was the immerser. Yeah. Okay.
Can
yes.
Can you zoom in on a couple of those?
Let me see. And the only thing I don't know how, unless maybe this let you do it. Let's see. Okay. You know what I'll do? Let me do this. Okay. I'm just going to run through them here. Go back or forward? Yeah, what did I do here? All right, now let's see if I can do this without. There we go. He's still in West Newton, by the way. Deb and I have sat on Mike and Marge's porch and had wonderful fellowship with them on a Sunday afternoon. So he's still there. Theodore Hack.
Levi.
Remember the time in I.O. when he gave a talk and it was lightning and thunder? Literally.
He said, "Hear the trumpets,
you heard them." There's Daniel Casey, huh? Okay, we are over on Brother Sean. Okay. Okay.
Brother Robert, that's the picture of William Ellis, and he died at an IO an IU convention, a general convention, in I think 65 or 6. And Brother Dan Kasiak was one of the first brothers my father met when he came into the truth. And Brother Kasiak was a very quiet person, and my father went up to him and said, "What are you studying?" And he said, "I'm studying to be quiet and mind my own business." And that shaped my father for the rest of his life. And also, not that my father wasn't a busybody, but that was really impressive to him that this quiet person was already doing that. The other thing is, if you go to the right, Ludlow Loomis, his birthday text, January the 7th, was "Speak evil of no man." And I grew up knowing Brother Loomis, and I'm not the perfect memory, but I never remember him ever saying an unkind word about another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Murray's in there somewhere, who was in Columbus, Indiana, and I was scared to death of that man. He had the longest arm span of anybody I'd ever seen. I was about Ryland's age, and he would try to, unfold and get down to my level, and I would run and hide. But I remember when he was talking, he would talk about the great company that had one arm in heaven and the other one on the earth. So it was a real powerful illustration.
Thanks, Sister Carol. Appreciate it. You must have been on one of the other photos.
Next page.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Brother Lyle Cook played a big part in my husband and I's life. As some of you know, my husband died. We were only married 15 years, and I had 4 little children. And when he died, of course, we naturally, I was worried what was going to happen. And Brother Lyle Cook took over my house payments. And he took over my house payments for a good many years. And I never had to worry about anything like that. and that was that dear brother. He never wanted me to say anything about it or tell anybody, but he was the one that helped me so very much, and he was a wonderful, wonderful brother. And now I can tell he didn't want me to say anything with anybody, but when he's gone now, I can tell. Just all the wonderful credit to him. And also, Brother Loomis, he was the most wonderful brother to ever entertain. I had him in my home several times, and I remember that whenever you talked to him, he would have a prayer before you even would sit down and have a talk discussion with him. He was such a wonderful brother to, he knew the scriptures. He could sit there, because one time I couldn't think of a scripture, and I kept thinking of scripture. He said, "That's not a scripture, sister, isn't it? That's a manna text." And he knew all the manna texts, he knew all the scriptures. He could just give them out. But he was a very humble, very wonderful brother. And I could say some other things about him, but he was a marvelous brother. I enjoyed having him.
Thank you, Sister Emily. You know, that's the nice thing. These brethren, of course, they're gone, so we can now share some of these things where we might not feel comfortable if they were still on this side of the veil. One of the things about Brother Loomis that our class recalls is back in the 70s, he was giving a talk, and the power went out, and he just kept right on going. No lights, and it never fazed him, and he just kept on talking. Thank you.
When Esther and I were young, we had meetings in the homes and everything, and Brother Loomis was the speaker at one of the homes. And I could see he never had notes in front of him or nothing. He always talked. And brought out all his wonderful scriptures, and I said, I'm going to ask him, Brother Loomis, I don't remember where this scripture is. And I forgot exactly what it was about now, but it's so many years ago. But he said, "Stop me when I get to it." He quoted from Romans 1 all the way down.
Oh my goodness. He had a photographic memory.
Yeah, wonderful.
Oh my goodness. That's incredible. Thanks, Brother Art. Now, we just, you know, I'm so sorry I cannot remember your name, because you had your hand up. For somebody, for Sister Edna. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Melody. Thank you. Would you like me to go to the next page?
Please.
Okay. Let's go ahead and zoom in on these and see what we can find here. I'm going to go, and we'll just go left to right here. Let's see. Okay, there we go. Downtown. Oh, there, yeah. Is that the one, Brother David, you corrected the spelling?
That's Ernest, the Frank and Ernest.
Oh, that Ernest, okay. Ernest, the Frank and Ernest, thank you. And that's Frank. So there's Ernest and Frank. Frank and Ernest. Yep, Columbus, Ohio.
Krupa.
Raymond Krupa.
Poe.
Brother Poe. There's Brother Morehouse, like we saw in the other picture.
Brother Poe, by the way, was a relative of Edgar Allan Poe.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my.
They always impressed me because he scared me just as much as Poe's story.
Brother Robert.
Yes. Sister Sarah.
I see a picture of Brother Morehouse there, and I never met him. But when I first came into the truth, I had a difficult experience, and I was at the university, and I listened to a talk of his over and over and over again until the girls at the dorm were saying, you know, we're going to burn that tape if you play it one more time. But the talk was called Honey Out of the Rock, and he was talking about our heart experiences and how they turn into honey, they change your character. And the sound of his voice, you could tell that he'd been around a long time, and that he had had experiences that could have done that to his character. You're coming up to a picture of Peter Colliman, And I stayed with the Collimans for a couple of weeks during this period of difficulty when I left home. And
is it on this, Sister Sarah? I'm sorry.
Isn't he on this page?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just thought I would go to it if...
I thought I saw Brother Collimon, but...
Well, anyway, go ahead.
Well, whenever he comes up.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will.
Okay.
He was a big blessing to me, too, so...
Brother Peter?
Yeah. I was going to tell you, when you were showing me pictures of Brother Russell, Sister Mirza had Brother Russell be her horse when she was a little girl in their living room. He was her horse. And she got to ride on his back.
I never heard that story, so thank you. Wow. That's quite something. Again, a side of Brother Russell we don't normally see. Thank you. Yes.
As long as you have Brother Morehouse up there.
Sure.
But you know, he did me the biggest favor. He performed our wedding.
Oh my goodness. Had no idea. Thank you for telling us that.
Actually, he married how many? 95 or 100 people in the troop. Over the years. Yeah.
Over the course of years.
Sister Jody kept a picture of every one of them, but I never saw them all. But
yeah,
he was marrying saints back then.
Wow. Wonderful. Well, I think we went over these. So maybe what we can do, let's see. We'll go on. Do you want me to go back to these or just go forward?
Go forward?
Okay. Okay, here we are. Edmund, yes.
Edna May down on the bottom, right?
There's right, Edna May.
Sister McKee and
Benita. And Benita, yeah, on the bottom. Yep. Yes.
She was one of the most beautiful, wonderful women that I ever knew in my life, and she was she knew the tabernacle, the pyramid.
Yeah.
She would talk to every time you come. She gathered the children around, young people. My kids loved her, and she'd tell you all about the pyramid. She knew everything about it, and she was a person who loved to talk and to have wonderful fellowship with. But she got ill, and she couldn't speak. She couldn't speak again. We would go visit her. And she just smiled. She had a big smile on her face every time we saw her. But she was a wonderful sister and was such a help to me at one time in my life that I couldn't go by without. She was one of the most beautiful characters and knew her scriptures. And she was in the Pickle class also. And she was married to Frank Burns, who was a very wonderful brother. So many of the brethren I know, because they helped Bob and I so much. They were so encouraging to us. And I can't pass by when I see those beautiful brethren up there. And McKee for another one. Sister McKee in the middle. That's the reason I put her picture, not because we're in there, but she was a beautiful character. Her and Brother McKee helped a lot of the brethren. And they were loyal to the Lord. They went out tracting every week and being out tracts. The two of them would go together. So we walked with angels. I really feel we walked with wonderful brethren and marvelous.
I can remember the brethren commenting on Sister Mary Jane, especially in the way that she so gracefully endured that experience of not being able to speak when she used to love to talk to the brethren so much. And that was just, you know, they would go to visit her for years before she passed beyond the veil. Yeah. And Alan and Evelyn on the bottom. And I'm not sure who's on the top. Okay.
The ones in the bottom were
McAllister.
Brother Alan
and Sister Evelyn McAllister.
He was one of those that we lost.
Now, Christian Zano and his wife was what?
Margaret.
Okay.
And
where is Brother Sid from, Sister Carol? That's what I thought. He was in Fort Collins? Yeah, I think he was in Fort Collins, because when I was out there, that's right, Brother Larry Davis and I went to visit him at his, I think he was in a, not really a person, he had his own apartment, but it was like a place where for seniors at the time. Yeah, yeah, that was a blessing. That was only about a year or two before he passed away. Yes, Sister Kim.
Lower left is Homer Kroll from Muncie.
Oh, okay.
And above it is Sister Raffle with Sister Elnita.
Yep.
And I can't see the ones on the bottom right.
Brother Ted Smith. The one that so we have the discourses that were printed or were transcribed. Yeah, there were quite a few of those. Yeah. Yeah, Sister Edna, please.
His wife didn't like the truth. She said Brother Russell should have been tarred and feathered.
Oh my.
And she had nothing to do with the truth. So when he died, she wouldn't let any brethren come to visit to his. You know, when he died in the coffin. So the brethren in Muncie all got together and they had a memorial service for him and they gave a talk of what he loved and his truth and everything. But that brother, he was not in his home to keep peace. He was not allowed to talk about the truth or the volumes or anything. He had to give her a scripture for everything. And he told me, he said, I learned the truth like I never learned it, because he said, Brother Russell had a scripture for everything in the scriptures, and he wrote the volume. And he told me, he said, I learned the truth by the Bible, not by just reading the volumes. So he was a marvelous brother, and he really stayed with the truth and loved the Lord. And I just want to put that in, because he suffered to give out the truth, even at home.
We appreciate your pointing that out, because again, some of these dear brethren, a lot of us have not heard of them, and you have so many times you have testimonies like that where they stand faithful, and what an example of letting the opposition sharpen and crystallize his character and his understanding. So thank you.
Just the picture on the lower right, Brother Ted and Sister Bessie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They were like second parents to my mother, Sister Eunice Whiskey, and my Aunt Rachel Rice. In the Pacific Northwest, when they grew up, they used to take them, the whole family, on picnics and different things. And I grew up hearing stories about them. And I just they were really special.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Oh, yes, and in the back, Brother Dennis.
One more comment on that bottom left picture, Brother Homer Crawl. My daughter just brought to my attention that picture was taken in my father and mother's backyard.
Oh.
I recognize the building and the tree now, so.
Okay.
I couldn't see it that well from here, but that's where that was taken.
Well, again, thank you for pointing that out to us. We'll zoom in on it a little bit. There. Gives you a little clearer view. Anybody know these brothers? Mr. Carroll. How do you know all these brethren?
The brother on top is Carl Harmon from New Albany. And Susan would remember him. He goes way back. He got the truth at a fair boot that New Albany had. And Luella kept in touch with him, Susan's grandmother, Mac's widow. And he didn't come to meeting for a long time because of opposition at home. And finally, he did. I think he said 31 years in the court. And he couldn't do enough for the brethren, and we are privileged to have a meeting place because of his efforts. I think the Lord kept him alive. He was on kidney dialysis for 10 and a half years, which incredible. And he was just a quiet, faithful brother who just went about witnessing, and he's just a wonderful memory for us who knew him all those years.
Good. Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
Brother Robert,
yes,
that's Sister Frieda Gehring, and she was in the Hope Ecclesia for many years, Aquinas Ecclesia.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother is Sister Ola Harvey, so you might have known her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Ola got the truth from her husband, who started hearing about the truth and going to meetings. Sister Ola was very suspicious as to where he was going, really. These evenings he said he was going to Bible study, but he truly was. So she started reading the reprints to see what in the world he was into. And even contemplated destroying them at one point. And then she and her son decided, well, they were pretty good. Maybe they shouldn't get rid of them just yet. So she kind of had an off-again, on-again relationship with the truth. But he encouraged her to go to the Photodrama that they had in Indianapolis. And so she went, and she had, Frieda was the oldest, and then she had two sons that were younger. And one, I think, was like hold on your lap younger, quite a bit younger than Frieda. And so she took him with her and thought that, you know, if she got to the part where she didn't like it, she could leave and have the baby as an excuse. So she listened to the Photodrama for a while, and it was, I guess, not terribly interesting to her at the moment. So she said, I just reached down and I just pinched my son, and of course he let out a big war whoop, and what could I do? But I had to, of course, take him out. So she got back to the back doors, and one of the usherettes said, oh, here, let me take him so you can listen to the rest of the Photodrama. So she said, I had no choice but to go back and sit down in my seat. But then she said it came on about Abraham and Isaac. And of Abraham offering Isaac, son, by God's, of course, request. And she said, I was hooked from that moment forward. So the Lord made sure she saw the right part to get her attention. And very faithful to the truth ever after. And of course, Sister Frieda and Brother Walter Gehring, her son, all got the truth and came into the truth through their belief and through their understanding of the truth. But I tell that to her credit. She was incredibly honest about, you know, even those relating those stories. But she loved the Lord with all her heart. And she even witnessed, she worked in a convent for a while, and then also in a home for retired priests. It's kind of like a nursing home for priests, I guess it was Catholic sponsored. And she witnessed in there, made quite a few enemies of the nuns who ran the place. One even threatened to throw her down the stairs. But she witnessed to a priest there who also, he begged for a King James Bible, because all he had was the Dewey translation, and it was forbidden for them to have anything but. And so she slipped him one. She brought him in one, slipped him one, and he would read it, and he thanked her for doing that. And they would have some discussions on the fly about the scriptures. So all of it, the whole family, they really loved the truth, and they did their very best to study and to be faithful to what they had. And so I wanted to mention that.
Good. Thanks, Sister Rebecca. Appreciate all that information. I can remember Brother John Baker, you know, mentioning Sister Harvey many times in his testimonies and how much he appreciated her. And now that you mention it, yes, indeed, I did get to meet both of those sisters. It's just been quite a long time ago, back in the 90s. Sister Carol again.
Well, I don't want to be talking about
you.
People probably think you wouldn't know these people. The lady on the... Why am I saying something Martha should talk about?
Go
ahead. The lady on the left is her aunt, Anita Graves. That's Dudley Chastain's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her oldest child, Rita Graves. And Rita came to our class, and she... had a lot of difficult experiences in her life, but it brought her to the Lord, and she got cancer. And she was sick from November to April. She worked at the VA hospital in Louisville. She was a nurse, and she, of course, ran out of sick days very quickly. But this dear person had let her light shine so that all but, I think it was 3 days, of her hospitalization was covered because employees that she didn't even know donated work days, sick days, vacation days to cover her expenses. And she witnessed and she made a consecration, and David had memorial. We went with him to the hospital. Her first and her last memorial in April. I forgot what year it was now. But she was in isolation, and she was getting ready for a bone marrow transplant. And somehow it fell through, and her father died the day after Father's Day in June, would be like this weekend, on Monday. And she was at the wedding, and we had memorial with her on April 3rd, which of course was the day of Jesus' crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
On the calendar, and we buried her that same year on September 3rd. And so we had the two of them died. And Anita gets to our class as often as she can. But Rita, you talk about quick, but she just was such a light in a dark place, and we just really miss her.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Yeah, again, it's all in the Lord's timing, isn't it? Just amazed, you know, you look at the body and just the variety, just the different experiences from one end of the spectrum to the other. It's just incredible. Yeah, I'll go ahead and zoom in on this one. Here, let's just do this. Brother Ed. Yes, go ahead, Sister Rebecca.
I was going to comment on Sister Bernice, so that someone else who maybe knew Brother Ed better than I, but the picture up underneath,
right,
is
okay,
Sister Bernice Bushless.
All right.
And Brother Ed and Sister Rachel Bushless, this is Brother Ed's mother. And we have lived, of course, here in another, just one county over from where we are tonight, and we bought a place, and we had 5 acres. And Sister Bernice's husband worked for Xerox and was transferred to Indianapolis from Chicago. She had met with Chicago friends. And so they came and they bought some of our property and built a house next door to us. And we had never really known Sister Bernice or Ed. It's Ed Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Ed is named after his father. Until they moved next to us. And so they were with us for several years, and helped us through my father's illness and death, and majorly, and was a wonderful student of the scriptures, and could come up with great references and studies that were right on target, and wonderful scriptures for us too, and was a real stalwart and strength to us during that period of time, which would have been like 1973 to 76, something like that. Then eventually they went back to Chicago, and we still go by our old house and their old house on the way to my little sister's house these days. It still stands. But wonderful memories, and certainly just for those few years, they were there. Like, I think they were there for us. The Lord provided that for us, that we needed it at that time. So we certainly remember them fondly.
That's the way the Lord works. He provides the body members, not just they're being chiseled for the other side of the veil, but right now He knows exactly where to place them, doesn't He? Does anybody have any comments on the top photo before we close?
Yes, it's a lens and Sister Lorenz in California. Martha and I went out to California and we stayed in their home. We stayed with them. And brethren, I've been around a lot of these wonderful saints, I call them, in my life. Mm-hmm. That brother really, he never sat down talking. He didn't talk the truth. He told you all these wonderful stories and you all the older brethren and the truth. And he was just one of the most wonderful. And he and his wife were, I think, kind of bulwarks from the truth, because they were very wonderful at witnessing and giving out the truth. But he became very close to our class and to my children. He was wonderful to my children. He helped them and encouraged them. And so many of the brethren were, after my husband died, kind of took me under their wings a little bit and helped me. And I guess I know so many of them, because they were just so helpful and wonderful to me. But he was one of the most wonderful brethren I ever met. And we talked about the truth. He talked about the truth all the time. Every time we had fellowship with him, that's all he talked about. He knew a lot about the truth.
He used to give so many pictures, and he'd look at the tabernacle and the drama of the tabernacle. I'll never forget that. Never forget, and when he would look at prophetic scriptures, he would pull out points that were just amazing. I always considered him such a stalwart in the truth, and yet to talk with him, he was never intimidating. He was he was just so easy to talk to, and he kind of took me under his wing as a young person, and would always come up and fellowship and share practical wisdom as well as scriptures with me. So I have some very precious memories of him also. I think Sister Rebecca will take your comment last.
Just a little post note for him. He would tell us a story and talk about Ali. When he was a young boy, I'm sorry, I don't remember the location, he was where Brother Russell was. And apparently there were steps to go up to the building where there were. Brother Russell was coming down, he was going up.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a young boy. And yet Brother Russell stopped to talk to him. And he said, "I'll never forget this ever." He said, "He kissed me on the head." Mm-hmm. And that was such a personal thing for Brother Russell to do. And I don't know that he even knew him previous to that. But he stopped to take time for such a young child there, probably with his consecrated parents. But he always treasured that stuff. That Brother Russell stopped, acknowledged him, and kissed him.
As a little child, yeah. Thank you for relating that. Yes.
Can I make a comment on Brother Lorenz?
Oh, okay. Yes.
I have some very fond memories of Brother Lorenz. I remember when I first became, reinterested in the truth when I was about 50 years old. I came to this convention, the Hope Convention then, and Brother Lorenz was speaking, and I really was enjoying his message, and I was made direct contact with Brother Lorenz several times during the meeting, and after the meeting he came up and introduced himself and said, asked me who I was, and I explained, and he said, "Are you consecrated?" I said, "No." I said, "But probably will one of these days." And he looked at me and he said, "Why tarriest thou?" And I never had an answer, and that was a key to make a decision. So that was a precious memory.
Okay. Brethren, thank you so much. I appreciated the service and just all the spontaneous thoughts that you have shared with us this evening. We could keep going. We only got through a few of these photos, so I guess we'll tell Brother Mark to save them for next year. And the brethren can continue on if they decide to have another meeting like this. But thank you so much. We really appreciate it. This is encouraging to remember our brethren like this and share our memories and our experiences. And, it really is just a little foretaste of what it's going to be like on the other side. Like the one hymn says, the half was never told. May the Lord bless you.